Nearly everyone listening to my voice today is familiar with the words of Scripture that I'm about to read. And they know that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke these words. Are you familiar with them? They're found in John chapter 8, verse 32. Our Lord said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Are you familiar with those words? I know that you are. You know the Lord Jesus Christ spoke them. But here's the question. What was the occasion? To whom did he speak these words? What was the occasion? And to whom did our Lord speak these words? "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Well, let's go back a few verses and ask the Spirit of God to give us some understanding of these words. You know, when you read a verse of Scripture, you ought to read what's before the verse and what follows the verse. Find out who's speaking and to whom he's speaking, what the occasion is, what the subject is. Let's find out. Well, in John chapter 8, now turn in your Bibles to the 8th chapter of John, and let's look at verse 23. Let's go all the way back to verse 23 and listen to the Lord. "He said unto them," this group of people to whom he was speaking, he said unto them, "You are from beneath. I am from above. You're of this world. I'm not of this world. You're from beneath. I'm from above." This is the awful distance, whether you understand it or not. But this is the awful distance between men and God. The Word of God says, "Your sins have separated you from your God." The Word says, "God's in the heavens. God's in his holy temple, and you are upon the earth." God is holy, pure, dwelling in a light to which no man can approach, and you are sinful and defiled and dwelling upon this earth. You're from beneath. I'm from above. You're sons of Adam. I'm the only begotten Son of God. You're of this world. I'm not of this world. Now, you get the picture? That's what he says when he starts off this message. He says, "You're from beneath." Called the dunghill in the book of Samuel. "And I'm from above." What an awful distance. And then verse 24. Look at verse 24. Therefore, he said, "I said unto you," you who are from beneath, "and I from above have said unto you," who are from beneath, "I who am not of this world have said unto you that are of this world, you shall die in your sins. You shall die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins." Now that's a frightening prospect. That's a terrible, terrible judgment. You shall die in your sin. You were born in sin. Do any of you doubt that? "I was shapen in iniquity. I was conceived in sin. I was brought forth from my mother's womb, speaking lies." We're born in sin. Not only born in sin, we've lived in sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Solomon says, "There's not a just man on this earth that doeth good and sinneth not." And God said he looked down from heaven to see if there's any that did understand, any that did do good. They're all gone out of the way. We're not only born in sin, we lived in sin, and we have no power to rise above sin. No man has any power out there to fully conquer sin, any more than the Ethiopian can change his skin or the leper his spots. And therefore, because we're born in sin and lived in sin and have no power to break the shackles of sin, we're going to die in sin. We're going to die in our sins and be forever damned in our sins unless, and he offers some hope here, "if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sin." Now, really, the word "he" is in italics there in your Bible, if you'll notice it while you're reading, meaning it's supplied by the translators. So, really, he's saying this: you'll die in your sins if you believe not that I am. You'll die in your sins. Well, who is I am? When did you run across that first in the Bible? Well, back in Exodus chapter 3, Moses was up on that mountain, standing by the bush that burned and was not consumed. And God spoke to him. He said, "Moses, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground." And Moses took off his shoes, and God spoke to him. And God told him how he
would deliver Israel from Egypt and how he would use Moses to deliver the people of promise out of the land of slavery. And Moses said, well, Lord, when I go down there and tell them that you've sent me to deliver them from the land of slavery and bondage, they're going to ask me, this Lord you represent, this Lord who sent you, what's his name? What's his name? Now, what am I going to say? And the voice came from heaven, I am that I am. That's my name. And Jesus Christ is saying here, and I talked about this last week. He's saying, I am from above, you're from beneath. You're from the world, and I'm not of the world. And you're going to die in your sins. Having been born in sin and lived in sin, you're going to die in your sins. If you don't believe that I am that I am. I am. God is in the person of Christ. God came down to this earth in the person of Christ and spoke to us, and preached to us, brought the gospel to us as our prophet, secured that gospel as our priest, and reigns to intercede and to apply that gospel as our king. And he says, I am. I am. If you don't believe that, you're going to die in your sin. And then verse 25, here's their response. Then said they unto Jesus Christ, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? His words so pricked their hearts. And I'm sure as I spoke those words after all these years and being such a frail man as I am, I suppose still it shook you a little bit, didn't it? I can't speak those words without being shaken by them. And they were shaken. They were pricked in their hearts. They were stunned, and out of fear or frustration or something, they cried, who are you? Who are you? Well, he said this, even the same that I said to you from the beginning. That's who I am. From the beginning of the world. I told you who I am. I am that I am. I told you who I am. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. From the beginning of my ministry, I told you who I am. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God. I told you I and my Father are one. And from the beginning of this message, when I started speaking to you a little while ago, I said this, I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, because I'm the light of the world. I'm the bread of life. I'm the door. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. I'm he that was dead and am alive forevermore, he told them later. He always told men who he is. I am, I am. I am that I am. And then verse 26, listen to this, John 8:26, right on down the next verse. He said, and I have many other things to say about you. I have many other things to say about you, things that will judge you and condemn you. He'd already said many of those things. He said, you will not come to me that you might have life. He said, let another come in his own name, and him you will receive. I've come in my Father's name, and you won't receive me. He said, you have not the love of God in you. For him whom God has sent, you do not love. He said, you seek not the honor that comes from God, you seek honor that comes from men. He said, you neither know me nor my Father. He that sent me is true, and I speak those things about you that I've heard of him. And I have many things yet to say about you that will judge you and condemn you. And then the next verse says, and they understood not. They understood not that he spake of them, to them, of the Father. Oh, the dullness of the human heart. But he adds this. Now listen to this. Our Lord adds this. But, verse 28, when you have crucified or lifted up. That's what he means when he said, when you've lifted up the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. When you have lifted up or crucified the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am. That I am. In other words, he's saying that his crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension would be followed by such manifestations of divine glory that his words would be fully vindicated. And many, even of them, would be convinced that he is indeed the Messiah. He is indeed the Christ. The thief on the cross saw it. As he hung there beside Jesus Christ in death, he turned and said, Lord, you're not going to stay dead. You're coming into a kingdom. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. That centurion standing by the cross when Jesus Christ died lifted up his eyes and said, surely this man is the Son of God. And the disciples were convinced, and they owned him, and the people at Pentecost who heard the message of Peter, they heard him, and they believed him. So he said, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, when you've crucified him, then shall you know that I am. And then in verse 29, now listen to this. And he said, and the Father's with me. The Father hath not left me alone. I always please him. I always do those things that please him. Did not the Father say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased? My Father's with me. He hath not left me alone, because I always do those things that please him. Now verse 30. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Many believed. As he spake these words. Now you know the words he said. You're from beneath. I'm from above. Now, you're going to die in your sins if you believe not that I am. You shall die in your sin. They said, well, who are you? And he said, the same as I told you. I told you from the beginning. And he said, I've got more things to say about you, and more things to say concerning you, things that will judge you and condemn you. But I want you to know this. When you've lifted up the Son of Man, when you've crucified the Son of God, you'll believe, you'll know that I am, that I am, that I am. That I am. And he says, the Father's never left me, and the Father's with me. And when he said that, many believed on him. Many joined up. Many made decisions. Many believed on him. Now these words occur often in the Scripture. Many believed on him. I found them 5 or 6 times just in the book of John. In John 2:23, it says, when they saw the miracles, many believed on him. In John 7:31, it says, and many believed on him. In John 10:42, it says, and many believed on him there. They made decisions. In John 11:42, it says, when Lazarus was raised, many believed on him. So here, when he spake these words, these powerful words, many believed on him. Well, how did he respond to them? What did he have to say to these people who said, we believe, we believe. When Christ comes, shall any man do any greater work than this man? We believe. How did Christ respond to them? What did he have to say to them? Let me read it to you. Verse 31, John 8. Now listen to our Lord as he spoke to these people who made a profession, who said they believed, who wanted to join forces with him. He spoke to them and he said, then Jesus said to these Jews which believed on him, watch it, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, in my way, in my fellowship, in my fold, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Do you see why I read these verses that were spoken before? Do you see why I read them? All that, you remember all that he said. And then when he got through talking to them, that many believed on him. They believed. They made a profession. You can just see this same thing happening in our day. Down the aisle, people come. They believe. They decide. They make profession. They get religion. They get excited. They hear a sermon. They hear these words. And they heard the words of Christ. And they believe. Many believed on him. And this happened frequently in his ministry. It happened frequently. I read it to you 5 times in the book of John. Many, 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 many believed on him. Where were these people when he died? Where were these people when he was crucified? Where were these people when he was forsaken of all men? Where were these people when he was deserted by all men? Where were they? They've fallen along the wayside. And so he speaks to them, these that believed on his name. And he said to them, there they were in front of him. And he said, I'll tell you something. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. In other words, a great big if. A great big if hovers over all these professors like a cloud. If you continue. Paul said that in Colossians 1. He said, and you hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death that he might present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith and be not moved away from the gospel, grounded and settled. Paul used these words in Hebrews 3. He said, we're made partakers of Christ, no question. If we hold fast the beginning of our confidence, steadfast to the end. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. That continuing in the faith, persevering in the grace of God, is not a condition of salvation at all, but it's the undeniable proof and evidence that a man's been born again. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, false faith can do many things. False profession can do many things, but these things that they do, false professors, they'll soon be exposed for what they are. False faith can rise to a high office like Judas. False faith can follow the miracles like those in John 2. False faith can eat the loaves and fishes and cry for more. False faith can be baptized like Simon Magus. False faith can give offerings like Ananias and Sapphira. False faith can follow preachers like Demas. But let me tell you this, true faith, true saving faith, continues to look to Christ, rest in Christ, believe in Christ, bow to Christ, until like Abraham and those faithful men of Hebrews 11, it dies in the faith. That's right, they die in the faith. True faith will acknowledge Christ, bow to Christ, and continue in Christ all the days of my life. And that's what our Lord's saying. If many believed on Him, and He looked at them who claimed to believe on Him, He said, if you continue in My Word, when your faith has been tested by time and tested by trouble and tested by trials and tested by tribulation, when your faith has been tested and you continue, then are you My disciples indeed. And my friends, true faith will be tested. The Apostle Paul said, if you be without chastening, if you be without trial, without trouble, without God dealing with you in discipline, then you're not a son. And James deals with that. James 1, he said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have its perfect work. And then Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1, verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season you're in many trials, manifold temptations is many trials. Listen, that the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perisheth, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. This faith, the faith of God's people, the faith of God's elect, is called precious faith. Precious faith. And you know there are not many things in the Bible called precious. His blood is precious blood. His promises are precious promises. And the Scripture says, He is precious unto you that believe. He is precious. And the death of His saints is precious to the Lord. But here, our faith is called precious, identified with those other four precious things. Precious faith. And He said, your faith, when your faith is tried, it'll be like that gold. It'll endure the fire, and it'll come out stronger, and it'll come out more valuable, and it will not perish. It will not perish. You see, trials come from God. God is the first cause of all things. And any trial in the life of a believer, any trouble, any temptation in the life of a believer is of God. He's the first cause. And trials do not produce faith. They're not given to produce faith. They're given to prove faith. Like when Abraham went up on the mountain with his son Isaac to sacrifice him, and when God told him to hold back his hand and touch not the lad, God said, now it is proven, it is clear that you love Me. This trial didn't produce love for God in the heart of Abraham. It revealed love for God in the heart of Abraham. You see, trials strengthen real faith. Trials do not destroy faith. Trials strengthen faith. They prove faith, they reveal faith, and they strengthen faith and expose false faith. The true people of God, like Abraham, will endure to the end. In other words, Christ said, if you continue in my word, in my way, in my fellowship, then, after all the afflictions and suffering and trial, then are you my disciples indeed. Not as just in profession, not in name only, not in form, not just in association, but indeed. In other words, true faith in Christ will literally throb in a man's pulse. True faith in Jesus Christ will look out of the eyes. True faith in Jesus Christ will light up the countenance. True faith in Jesus Christ will soften the touch, mellow the voice, bow the head, bend the knee, open the hand, curb the tongue, humble the heart, order the steps, and give to a person a hearing ear, a forgiving spirit, and peace of conscience. If you continue in my word, in my way, then, after all the trials and troubles and heartaches and afflictions that this life brings to pass, and our Lord tells us that. He warns us. He said, in this world, you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And after all of these troubles and sorrows, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And, what's this now? You shall know the truth. You shall know the truth. Now, my friends, the truth is not a series of doctrines. The truth is not giving mental assent to some facts. You see, in that way, Satan knows the truth. James said, you believe in one God? Well, you do well. The devil believes that. You believe Jesus Christ died on the cross? Well, the devil was there when he died. He tried his best to keep him going to the cross. The truth here is not a series of doctrines. It's not a systematic theology. It's not believing a creed or cat. The truth here is a person. You know the truth. Christ is the truth. I am the truth. And when he says, now, if you continue in me, in my word, in my fellowship, then are you my disciples? You're my followers. You're my people. You're my sheep. And you'll know me. You'll know me. And I'll set you free. I'll set you free. So you hear people say, well, you know, the Bible says you know the truth. The truth will set you free. No. No, I'm sorry. That's not knowing a doctrine and being freed by doctrine. That's not giving mental assent to some facts and being set free by some facts. It's knowing a person. And this whole thing started out when he said, I'm from above, you're from beneath. I'm not of this world, you're of this world. If you believe not that I am who I am, you'll die in your sins. And he reveals to them who he is. He said, you're going to lift up the Son of Man. Then you believe that I am he. I am him. And many believed on him. They said, we believe you. And he said, now if you really do, believe me. If you really do. If you're not just making a profession, if you're not just making a decision, if you're not just holding up your hand, if you're not just trying to get to heaven, if you're not just trying to get a new suit, a new car, a new house, if you really continue in me, in my word, then throughout all of life and all the struggles and trials and conflicts and afflictions, if you continue, you're my disciples in me, and you'll know me, the truth. I am the truth. And I'll set you free. I'll set you free from the curse of the law. I'll set you free from the condemnation of sin. I'll set you free from religious tradition. You'll not be bowed down and bent under it any longer. I'll set you free from the bondage of legalism. I'll set you free from self-righteousness, the damning effect of it. I'll set you free from anxious care and worry. You can rest in me. I care for you. Cast your cares on me. I care for you. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Not on a truth, on a person. Not on a doctrine, on a person. And I'll deliver you from fear. I'll set you free from fear of men. I'll set you free from fear of death and fear of judgment. He sets the captive free. Do you see what I'm talking about? Oh, I hope you do. I'm living in a day of religion, a day of decisions, a day of profession, a day of hand-raising, a day of aisle-walking. A day of come and go, here and there, in and out, up and down, hot and cold. But I'm preaching a person. He is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, if you continue with me, in me, of me, through me, in my word. Then you're my disciples, my people, and you'll know me, and I'll set you free. And if the Son shall set you free, you'll be free indeed.